Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. I'm going to welcome you out again once again this week for a wonderful show that we have for you today. As a quick reminder, check out our website, MoneyRipples.com. You know, check out the, I don't blog much on there, but hey, there's still some good old stuff on there that might be very valuable to you. Also, a shout out to our sponsors, American Homeowners Preservation. You want to make great money and great returns with making a great difference in people's lives with as little as just $100. Check them out. It's fundingahp.com. And in fact, funny enough, that's exactly who we've got as a guest on our show today. And so specifically, I'm bringing the president of the founder and CEO of American Homeowners Preservation. We're bringing on George Newberry today. Now, George, obviously he runs this company. You know, we've talked about it. You've probably heard me advertise it for months now, but we've actually never had him here. And, to kind of let you know, obviously this guy is amazing. You hear his story, you'll love it. Obviously the whole purpose of American Homeowners Preservation is that they're crowdfunding. You purchase non-performing mortgages from lenders at a big discount, and then he shares those discounts with those homeowners that are struggling. And it's interesting because for him and his life, you guys have heard the challenges that I went through in my life where I was $1 million of debt and about $16,000 in the hole each month. Well, guess what? I got somebody who's beat me. Back in 2004, a natural disaster actually created a whole financial collapse of his previous business that he had, leaving him $26 million in debt that he couldn't pay. And so the amazing thing about George is he was able to rebuild himself, and we'll have him tell a story about that a little bit too and how he started AHP, but it allowed him to be able to help families that have been in not as that drastic of a situation, but definitely in challenging situations, allow them to be able to stay in their homes. By the way, he's also an author. He's a writer. He's written several books, especially around debt, housing and finance, books like Burn Zones or How to Settle Your Unaffordable Debts for Pennies on the Dollar, things like that, books like that. So anyways, let's welcome on George Newberry. George, welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. So George, tell us a little bit more about yourself. I kind of teased him a little bit with some of your story, but what led you down this path, especially in creating American Homeowners Preservation?
Sure. So I had built up a substantial portfolio of apartments across the country. I'm about 4,000 units over between 1992 and 2004. So over 12 years, I got to 4,000 units across the country. And then an ice storm hit my largest holding, and it was on Christmas Eve 2004, and it just devastated this big, huge complex called Woodland Meadows. It's 1,100 units of affordable housing in Columbus, Ohio, my largest asset and one of the largest complexes in the whole country. And it triggered this extraordinary sequence of events, which ended up with me 18, 24 months later, losing everything and being $26 million in debt. Just an astounding predicament, something I had never before encountered. And it just, lots of things went wrong. I made some bad decisions. There were some forces that were working against me, and it just devastated me. And I ended up rebuilding myself through this company, American Homeowner Preservation. And basically, we try to help families who are going through the same experience I went through. They a financial collapse of their own. They're at risk of foreclosure. And one of the things I learned when I was experiencing my financial collapse is that, you don't have to file bankruptcy. I never filed bankruptcy. And instead, you can try to work out resolutions with your creditors, or with the debt buyers. And we eventually became a debt buyer. American Homeowner Preservation essentially is a debt buyer of first mortgages secured by low to moderate income homes across the country. And because we buy these at big discounts, we can go ahead and share those discounts with the families and help them stay in their homes with, you know, reduced payments, reduced principal. We can settle a delinquency at a fraction of what they owe. So there's a lot of advantages that we can provide to the families who are struggling, as well as provide to our investors who generate good returns for them. Again, it all comes off the discount and we make our money on the buy. So if we buy something at 20 or 30 cents on the dollar, there's a lot of flexibility to both deliver transformative solutions to the families as well as generate strong returns. And that's what we do.
Wow, that's awesome. That's pretty amazing. I mean, Merry Christmas to you from that little, that's a freak thing to happen, especially in Columbus, Ohio, of all places. Wow.
Yeah, it was the largest, I mean, it wasn't even that major news. It wasn't, but in Ohio it was the largest federally declared disaster in Ohio history. Wow. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'd suspect that our property was probably one of the greatest single losses from that storm. I mean, picture this. We had a Christmas Eve. We had the power, an ice storm came through and knocked out the power to more than half of the city. And Columbus is a decent sized city. So more than half of the city without power, including all of our property. And the temperatures outside were below zero. I think they're around -8. And so we had 800 or so families, thousands of people living at this complex, and we had no electricity. And so once the electricity went down, then the boilers that pumped hot water through all the units to keep them warm, the boiler shut down without electricity. And so we had we had no electricity and no heat and below zero temperatures. And then all that water that was in the pipes that was normally circulating to provide heat, it froze and eventually burst, as did the domestic water. And it spiraled into this extraordinary disaster where we were without power for 4 days. The Red Cross opened a shelter across the street at a church. And the insurance company initially came out and they said, despite the fact that I was insured for, almost $50 million, they came out and they said the claim's not covered because you needed to have some boiler endorsements. And I had no idea. I'd never been in this position before. And I said, you know, I was paying like $250,000 a year for insurance. And all of a sudden they say, oh, it's not covered. And so we actually had to go to get an attorney, go to court and fight the insurance company. And I had no idea, but I've since learned that insurance companies, when faced with a major claim, will do everything they can to delay it. They'll force you to sue them. And then eventually you get so exhausted and in such a financial predicament, as eventually I did, that you just take what they, you know, you negotiate a discounted settlement, much less than you were actually entitled to, because otherwise, I mean, in my case, I was already on the precipice. And by the time I took that, and really it ended up being too late. But that's how big insurance works. And it was a tragedy that I did not see coming on many fronts, and all sorts of other bad things happened, and both of my own doing, just in terms of bad decision-making, and then also just other people taking advantage of the situation. The city, this property was so attractive because it was low-income housing, but it backed into the highest income neighborhood in the city. So it was just awesomely located and was 54 acres, which I believe is one of the biggest, certainly one of the biggest, if not the biggest, parcel of land within the city limits. And so the city, I believe, had their sights on this property. They were actually at the auction when I first bought it and with their favored bidder. And they seized on this opportunity to do everything they could to dislodge me and put me out of business. And the property ended up being owned by the city several years later. And I didn't put all the pieces together until I wrote this book, Burn Zones. And I'll tell you why I wrote the book. When I started this company, American Homeowner Preservation, you know, people would sometimes Google me, and rightfully so, and they'd see all this stuff about Woodland Meadows that, hey, you know, I was millions of dollars in debts that I couldn't pay, that there was all this The city was saying things like I was under criminal investigation, even though when my attorney called the city attorney, they said, oh, there's no investigation. But, you know, this was stuff was all over the media. It was big news in Columbus for a couple of years. And the city did everything they could to make me look like just a terrible guy. So, you know, as I started this company, it started growing and institutional investors would do background checks or any investor would do a Google search. A big impediment was, oh my, people would call and say, hey, you know, tell us about Woodland Meadows. And so I'd write these explanation letters or do my best to explain, but it seemed reactive, but maybe I was like, I didn't tell them up front. Not that you really, it felt awkward to tell people up front, hey, you know, I'm doing all this good stuff, but oh, there's some really bad stuff that you'll see on the internet, even though most of it's not true. So right. I took a cue. I read somewhere that President Obama did something very, very, very smart. And he had experimented with cocaine in college, which in the hands of the opposition would be a great weapon against Obama. But what right. he did was he came out, he shared it in his book. So if anyone came out and said, hey, you experimented with cocaine, he said, hey, it's already in my book. I told everybody. So I really remembered that. I said, you know what? So I decided to write a book, and I wrote in the book, and I wrote everything that was bad on the internet, true or not true. I addressed it, and I shared the whole story. And actually, it ended up being a, reading almost like a people that read it. It's a story. It's not so much, like a nonfiction, but it really reads like a story, and people tend to enjoy it. And also they see both sides of it. And people actually at the end, you know, I speak pretty regularly and people come up and say, hey, I read your book. You know, I also experienced this crazy challenge or this failure. And, you know, they feel inspired by it, and that's been helpful. So it's not what I had set out to do, but actually that crazy period of my life, by sharing it in a book and getting it out so people can read about it beforehand, not only has it solved the problem about addressing these concerns, but now people have actually they feel like they're rooting for me. In fact, I read sometimes on Amazon, hey, I'm really rooting for this guy and whatnot. So I don't know. It's an odd, it's odd how it's worked out, but I'm thankful that I've tried to make the best out of that period of my life. And, it seems to be in what I do right now. It's odd. I never set out to be, the debt crusader, but it certainly has, given me skills to, negotiate these debts and resolve them with debtors. Probably I'd say, you know, it's a skill that I can do as good or better than anyone in the country. And the reason is because I was that debtor. I know what the debtor feels like, the debtor that is just overwhelmed with debt. I know what that feels like. And I know if you come at me saying, hey, you owe $100,000 on this house, it's only worth 50, but you're still going to have to pay me everything, you know, whatever, I'm not going to pay you. But if you come at me with something reasonable, hey, we know it's only worth 50. So as a result, you know, give us 45 and we'll just settle it in full, or, you know, lower my principal, lower my payments, make something fair. And if you don't want the house, just give me $1,000, give me my options, and don't make me sue you or litigate to get to them. Just give me the good deal up front, and then I'll decide what makes the most sense for me. But if you're coy and you kind of like squeeze the most out of you can, which is what all the big banks do when you try to apply for a modification from B of A, Ocwen, or Wells Fargo, or any of them for that matter, they'll ask for your tax returns, your paycheck stub, and all this. And the reason they're doing that is they're trying to see how much money they can squeeze out of you and still keep you going. And if they ask for too much, you're not going to be able to pay. But if they don't want to leave anything on the table, I don't care if we leave anything on the table. If we're making good money on the deal that we make, if your payment is $500 a month and you could have afforded $1,500, great. That means that if we're making a good return at $500, I'm more than happy to take that, and you get to keep the rest of the money and improve your life. And that's the sentiment here. And we try to really work with these families as best as we can. And I'd say one thing is, as we spread the word about, you know, AHP as an investment opportunity, I also try to spread the word about AHP as a solution, because some of these homeowners get our letters saying, hey, great news, we purchased your mortgage, here's what we can do. And they look at them and they think it's a scam, because they think these offers are too good to be true. And we've heard that over and over. And then they end up, you know, we end up getting an attorney because they don't respond. And then we start foreclosure. And then they call and they say, oh, you really own the loan. You know, can I still do that mod or whatever that you offered a few months ago? And of course, the answer is yes. But I prefer not to have to start foreclosure in order to get them, in order to provoke a response. So, you know, if any of your debtors are listening and they get a letter from American Homeowner Preservation, it's not quite like getting a letter from Publishers Clearinghouse, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's actually, you got better odds of winning if you get that kind of letter.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's excellent. That's amazing. And I see, and that's, you know, it's funny because like your experience is kind of similar to my experience, but on mine's obviously a much more minor level. And I know a lot of people here, their experience is on even more minor level than mine is, you know, and kind of like the people you're serving now. And I think the thing that's always amazed me, was just that it's not only something that you can create amazing return on with, you know, someone could put in as little as $100 and it's a registered security. It's not like it's some underground thing. This is something that's actually legit. It's filed with the SEC and everything. And, you know, on top of that, like you're helping people out. And so I remember talking to you about that and you were kind of going to the numbers. I'm like, you know, the numbers are awesome, but hey, this is something that actually does some good. This really creates value, which is really a big key thing that I teach people a lot is about that dollars follow value. The more value you focus on creating for people, the more that comes back.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's so funny. People think there's a disconnect, I think, and maybe it's just in capitalism. I was going to say in America, but maybe it's in capitalism where there has to be a loser and a winner. And in order to win, you need to have someone lose. And I mean, I think we're proving that's not the case. I mean, the only you could argue that the bank is losing, but the reality is the bank or whoever's selling us the mortgages, but they're not making us a special deal. They're selling it what they would sell us basically at the same price they'd sell to another debt buyer. And debt buying and selling has gone on, you know, for decades or centuries. And it's not something that's that's new. It's just we're executing different strategies that are socially responsible, proving that it doesn't have to, you know, can truly be win-win-win, as cliche as that may sound.
Right. And, you know, I know this is a question that I often get asked when people ask me about your guys' company, like, you know, how do you do during like recessionary times? Because I know a lot of people keep asking me more and more. They're like, okay, stock market's booming. Like they just announced yesterday that it had a 64th record high in the stock market yesterday since Trump's been in office, really for about the last 13 months. On top of that, you know, you also have, people talking about the real estate market and how there's like a big bubble boom, you know, and that kind of thing, right? Like, is there going to be another, you know, burst, you know, not boom, but well, there's been a boom, but more of a bust that will happen. You know, how do you guys do when things aren't going well in the real estate markets?
I think we'll do extremely well. And it's not something that we can, I mean, people forget very readily, but this is it's always cyclical. There's, you know, things go up, things go down, things go up, things go down. It just happens every few years. It's a matter of how high it goes, how far it drops. And, you know, obviously the last go round, you know, 2007, 2008, the downturn there was extraordinary. But that simply followed a run up that was extraordinary. And this run up has been pretty strong too. So, you know, make no mistake, it's going to happen. The question is when and how severe. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of turmoil in our country, in the world right now, and something needs to break or slip or fall, and that could be the trigger. So I'm not sure what it is. I mean, we've seen interest rates being increased. We've seen there's a lot of conflict across the country. There's certainly a lot of division in the country politically. And what is going to happen? And we have a president who I think is quite unpredictable. So, you know, who knows where it's going to go, but something's going to happen and will be that trigger for what's going to happen anyway. But there needs to be, oftentimes there's kind of a defining moment, which is where it turns at least years back or at least months later. You can look back and say, you know, that was where it turned. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It may be turning today. We just don't know it. And lots of times you don't know until it's already happened and it's in the rearview mirror. But I'll tell you, all the elements are there. I mean, the crazy speculation on Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, like you mentioned, the stock market, the real estate market, all of these markets are seeing a lot of speculation, you know, massive prices, massive price increases and valuations. And that's going to turn. Those are all the things that kind of point to, you know, warning, warning, warning. something bad is about to happen. And to directly answer your question, I think we'll do extremely well in a downturn. Here's what will happen. We're this market, the non-performing mortgage, non-performing loan market has not been immune to the robustness in other asset classes, or the optimism, I should say, in other asset classes. As a result, you know, purchase prices for these loans have generally gone up. Certainly since we started buying loans in 2011, the prices have gone up significantly, right, as has the competition, as has all the money that's flowed into this sector. So once that downturn happens, a lot of that money will exit. A lot of the buyers will exit. A lot of the institutional money will, you know, step to the sidelines, at least temporarily, to see what happens, and rightly so. But I think that will be our opportunity to really utilize crowdfunding, which is, now you have just people making the decision that this is a good investment. And as those prices hopefully plummet, you know, we'll have what I anticipate will be a more reliable source of capital, which is basically our crowd, the people, than, you know, Wall Street or institutions who will be scurrying to the sidelines. I think as a result, we'll be able to grow significantly in a downturn. And look at this. Our existing portfolio may lose some value. There's no question. But I don't think it'll be significant, because I believe because our mortgages that we buy are backed by homes in low to moderate income neighborhoods, which have basically seen very little appreciation over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years since the crisis, whereas the suburban neighborhoods, the higher income neighborhoods, have generally seen much greater rates of appreciation. I think although there will be some devaluation, it'll be modest, or some diminishment of value, it will be modest, I believe. But the opportunities as we go forward would be extraordinary.
Yeah,
it's my anticipation. So I think it'll be a great opportunity, and we're trying to really get ready for that as we continue to improve our site, our system, our processes, in order to be able to scale in that period of time.
That's awesome. Yeah, the way I see it is definitely, like, when there's a recession, I mean, that's where there's more opportunity for you. I mean, when there's a recession and people are losing their jobs, just like what we saw 10 years ago, I mean, that's when people are losing their homes, and that's when the opportunity opens up and really allows you to create, you know, buy things at a discount even more so. And it's interesting. Yeah. I've had several clients that are also doing real estate investing. They've actually looked to you guys and said, you know what, this is our hedge. This is our hedge against risk, because we're buying the real estate, and sure, like, we're doing cash flow stuff. They're not trying to do speculative, you know, flipping and things like that as much. But they're like, yeah, but, you know, you never know. Like, if there's hard recessionary times, that could affect the cash flow that we're earning on our real estate. At least if we have something like, you know, AHP, well, hey, they create opportunity during recessions. They have a better opportunity to make money during those times than when it's not, when the market's booming. And you guys are still doing amazing while the market's booming too.
Absolutely. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I think that's a good strategy. In fact, I know we definitely have attracted, it's not what we set out to do, but particularly with our liquidity features, there's definitely been some interest from, our investor base that do a lot of fixing and flipping, or fixing and renting, and do a lot just active in real estate, that I think comprise a pretty good size of our base. And some of them, you know, put the money in, they can't find a deal, they put the money in, and then they find a deal and they're redeeming that interest, which is absolutely right. Fine. It works well. So that's what I would do probably, in their position.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have a client who said, hey, I'm going to be, remodeling my house. It's going to be a while though. It's going to be like another 6 months or so. So he's like, might as well store this extra cash somewhere and earn a return on it while I'm sitting on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you'll get a discount on the interest. You know, you won't get as much interest, but hey, you know, that's definitely an option.
And yeah, absolutely.
And what he did. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, I know obviously the website, we've talked about it every single week on this show. I mean, fundingahp.com is a great place to go. George, I really appreciate your time on this show today. Very valuable, amazing story, and you have an amazing cause, and you're making a great difference in people's lives, both on the front of the mortgages you're buying, as well as the money you're paying clients, you know, that are investing in this too, that allowing them to have a participation in this cause is awesome. So thank you so much, George, for doing that.
I really appreciate you having me on and sharing AHP with your audience.
You bet. Hey, everybody, again, check out his website, www.fundingahp.com. That's FUNDING AHP as in AmericanHomeownerPreservation.com. Check it out. Everybody have a great and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.